thank you guys for coming out. We're here with Anna Karova, the CEO of the Field app. And I just want to say that Web Summit has been great so far. I can really feel the love. Okay, sorry. Corny joke time over. But Anna, we've got to get into how unique the Field app really is and just the impact it's having on dating culture. Because even the story of how you founded, well, your partner founded Field and you started leading the app is so unique. So just tell everyone how you were inspired and what made you want to solve that problem in the dating world and just develop the app.
Of course. Sorry, it was a bit too loud. I think it was at the start of our relationship with Demo, my partner. It was a few months after that I developed feelings for a woman. And I was in love with my partner, but I also had feelings for someone else, and my sexuality, my relationship, everything just felt like it's in flux. And I decided to tell Demo about this, and I expected he would just leave me because he would think that my sexuality is different, or he's like, we're not exactly what we thought we were. But his response instead was to tell me, why don't we explore this together? There's obviously something that you're feeling, it's really sincere. And we tried dating. There wasn't a space for us to be a couple, but also date openly. And he started the app, and I joined the company a couple of years later.
See, that's really interesting, because the app, I would say the culture of the app, just looking through it, it really does cater to people who have a fluid gender identity or sexual representation. It's just really fluid overall. And I want to get into that. So when you join an app, I don't know how many of you use other dating apps like Tinder, The League, or Bumble, but with Field, there are up to 20 sexual identities that you can select. Tell us about how, of course we know your experience influenced the way those options were presented to people, but what is a typical user's experience with that? Like anything, you know, even with the demographics
using the app. I think because Field started from a personal problem, that interest in the community and how people interact with each other has been at the core of the platform. And one of the very first, not challenges, but user feedback that we got was that we didn't have enough sexualities and gender identities on the platform, and people didn't feel seen, they didn't feel represented. And we worked with a consultant, we developed more than 20 gender identities and sexualities to offer to choose from. At the time when we did this, it was almost no other app had it. Most apps had like three options, it was man, woman, and other. But the thing that this has created for people is that during onboarding, when you see such a list, you come to a point where you ask yourself whether you're really as static, your identity is really as static as you thought it was. And we're seeing really interesting trends. Men in particular seem to be really subtle in how they explore their sexuality. They usually start as straight, and if they change, it might be too heteroflexible. I'm talking about straight men, not gay men, for example. But if you look at how women and non-binary folks date, they change their sexualities a lot. We have most of our women identify as either bicurious or bisexual, so there is a really interesting trend in how different people navigate their sexuality, how they explore, how comfortable they feel to actually express that and show it on the platform.
So you mentioned the heteroflexible and all of the other ones, bicurious and just all of these options. Do you think that that has made Field a destination for daters who want something, an experience that's more fluid specifically? And is that reflected in your data points?
Yes, actually. I think what is interesting about Field is that in contrast to other dating apps, we offer a space to explore rather than a space to have a destination. We call this a growth mindset rather than a destiny mindset on the platform. So most dating apps offer you an option to find the one, like that's the goal, and you join an app with this idea that there is this one person who's perfect for you. Whereas in Field, we don't even ask that question. We offer a space where people are open-minded, and curiosity is the main driver, curiosity for other folks. I think looking at our data points and how people date, it's really interesting if you look at age groups. So, for example, our fastest growing cohort at the moment is people over 50. This is the fastest growing group we have.
Over 50 years
over
old.
Over 50, yeah.
Okay.
The biggest group of users we have is millennials, really. They're the most fluid ones. They change all the time. They start presenting with one sexuality and then they explore something else. They sign up as a couple, but then switch to single. And then we have our Gen Z cohort, who are, interestingly, the group that has the least amount of straight folks. So newer generations are just naturally more comfortable with fluidity. And this whole trend as a whole is just showing us that the future is fluid, field is fluid, so this is where we're heading to.
Interesting. So this is the fastest growing group is age 50 plus, but that's still a small.
It's still a small.
But Gen Z, you say they're less straight identifying. You seem to have, because Field started in 2014, and back then I guess most Gen Z, I guess, shouldn't have been old enough to join a dating app anyway, but you seem to be ahead of the game in presenting a solution to a social problem. It's one that especially younger people can, you know, find some solace in. Now, speaking of social problems, on dating apps, raise your hands. How many of you have ever been ghosted if you use a dating app? That's why I stopped using them. I'd rather meet someone in person because of the ghosting. And sometimes I would ghost, and that would actually bother me because I realized that conversation is just kind of difficult to have already, and then let alone with a stranger, right? Hmm. But how would you say you have solved or helped address that problem in dating app culture?
I think we addressed it by accident. So one of the, well, I'm not saying we've resolved it. I'll start there. Ghosting is, I've come to terms with ghosting as something normal. It's something human. We've all done it, or most of us have probably done it, even if we didn't intend to. But what we do in Field is we actually show if someone's disconnected from you. I think a lot of apps don't show that. You just have someone just disappears from your list and you don't really know why. But in Field, we show that. It could be a little hurtful when you see it first, but it actually provides closure. The reason we developed this in the first place was because transparency and communication and consent have been always embedded in how we build. It's always been a part of the, it's always been at the core of how we do things in Field. And I think that is just natural, it's been natural for us to build that feature, and it turns out to address the issue of ghosting. Because if you don't want to talk to someone, they just disconnect you.
Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. The disconnect feature is something that other apps should pay attention to. I think that would be a really good thing. Now, let's talk about the way people, because the app is someone's own. Whenever they use it, they can use it how they want to use it. And I know I've heard some stories of people on Field, and they weren't necessarily, maybe they were looking for love, but it resulted in something else. So do you have any stories of, you know, testimonials from people who used the app and it was either successful for love or successful for maybe something else?
We have so many stories. It's wonderful, really. I think because our almost operating philosophy is curiosity, that is the driver. It's the main driver that pulls people to Field, and it's what usually makes the best connections. It's just this openness to the kinds of people you can meet. So rather than have an expectation or what I call like a cutout for the kind of person you want, you go there with an open mind, open heart, and you just meet someone and see where that takes you, and you learn and explore together. And some of the most interesting, fascinating stories we've had from users are, it was just recently I was talking to someone and they shared how they were looking for a sexual partner. And they met someone, they said they really vibed with them, they felt great, but eventually they just became musical partners. So they both turned out to play a musical instrument and they're a duo now. So they never even did anything like intimate between them, I guess, except for music. There's also another wonderful story I was told recently by a user who joined Field to explore their sexuality, but ended up finding love. And the reason it's moved was because the person said they had come to terms that love is not for them, that they would never be able to be comfortable and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So they just joined field to see what's there, yeah. and ended up feeling loved in the in the least expected way. So these are the kinds of journeys that when you join with an open mind, there are so many ways that this can unfold. And as long as you apply curiosity and openness to how you talk to people, sky's the limit.
Oh, I'm really happy for that person.
me too. I cried.
And I'm happy for the music duo too. That's a really interesting story of how they met. I think that's awesome. Now, on that topic of expectation, because I think a lot of people have an expectation when they go into a dating app, there's so much criteria that someone can select on a dating app. I think it's like, of course, age, location, but there's like height. I don't know if they've gotten super specific now with hair color or anything like that, but it just is very specific. And of course, expectation can also create limitations when you're looking for someone. So how would you say Field addresses that culture of expectation? Because I know on the app, I think the criteria is pretty limited, right?
Yeah.
When you're looking for a potential partner, yeah.
Yeah, we only offer filtering based on gender identity, mm-hmm. age, distance, and we have some filters for desires, but that's pretty much it. And the reason for that is because we try to focus, a lot of other apps focus more on the performative side of dating, the external, the appearance, the fitting in that cutout, fitting in that expectation. Whereas in Field, we focus on the inner worlds of people and what drives them, what has attracted them to this platform. When you onboard on Field, we offer to people to not give their full name. We want to meet people where they are. So some people want to stay anonymous, they want to just explore, they're not ready to fully engage. We also offer the opportunity to express your desires. So this is a key feature because it really allows for vulnerability and open communication. Because if you join a platform and you say what you're looking for on it as a desire, there is a level of transparency already and ability for people to connect based on that.
And also to, I guess, manage some of the expectations that they may have, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that is it. Going back to curiosity, we want to focus more on how people explore rather than how people look right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. The pandemic. So I guess it's over now. It was just kind of like a soft ending, but during the pandemic, a lot of dating apps saw the engagement just go through the roof. People needed to connect, couldn't leave the house. How would you say the pandemic impacted the trajectory of the app coming out of the pandemic? And what was that period of time like for you?
The pandemic forced us all to sit at home facing our decisions. I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen so much growth in Field during the pandemic and after. It's just, we are often just flowing in inertia and following norms that are assigned to us by society for how we should relate to each other, what our sexuality should be, what a good relationship looks like, what happiness should look like even. And I think when we all got stuck at home, you just face these decisions and you realize they were made really by inertia and by wanting to fit in rather than by wanting to be happy. Even if you think that we're just taught to comply mostly. So I think when you're facing all these decisions and you look really deep and ask yourself what is happiness for you and how you can feel fulfilled in your relationship, that's when you come up with alternative ways to connect to people. And Field's a place where you can craft and build and grow with someone the way that works for you and for everyone involved, and base it on consent, on pleasure, on connection and communication rather than on how it should look like from the outside. So we've seen a lot of growth during the pandemic thanks to that. I think it was already happening, but the pandemic just sort of sped it through. It was extremely really rapid and overnight almost. And it's still happening. We're still seeing it now.
Still now? Mm. That's awesome. That makes sense. So the culture of the app is, and just I guess the demographics of who's attracted to using the app is really young. How would you say that's reflected inside of the business? Let's get into how the organization runs from the inside.
There's a very well-known wisdom in business, really, that what you do inside the company has to reflect what you do outside. Like, the two have to be the same. So if we're human, if we focus on our users, if we talk to them, if we take care of them, we need to do that for our employees too. So being human and respectful and allowing people space to be themselves is the core of how we, of our culture. We have a few different sort of policies and ways that we've found to navigate difficult decisions as we've been scaling. We're really grounded in our values. So when we have to make a really, as I said, a decision, we really go back to our values and base how we move and how we, what we actually decide to do on them. We have some interesting policies. For instance, we've always been remote since day one. This was exactly because we wanted people to be themselves. We want people to do their best work, and we just allow them the space and the freedom to do it.
So to clarify, maybe there were only a few people working there in 2014, but since basically 2014, you guys have been remote?
Yeah.
Ah, ahead of the curve again. Go ahead. Yeah.
No one was remote at the time. People said it was crazy and it's impossible. And now look at us. Everyone wants to go remote, or at least part remote. Mm-hmm. Last year, we introduced baseline freedom salary, which it means that every full-time employee gets at least $80,000 annual pay. We found that that's at least what we want to pay so people feel good working in the company. Mm-hmm. We also introduced a post-breakup makeover policy, which is if anyone was to leave field for any reasons, we provide them with a budget of £7,000 to allow them to really improve their CVs, like search coaching, regardless of the reason why we split up. And this is really to support our people and to help them get to the next level. And as we grow, decisions like this come up, ideas like this come up exactly because we ground everything that we do in our values and we try to stick and hold on to them. Because when you grow, it can get messy, it can get scary. But these are the ways that we stay human and stay really focused on our people.
Wow. So in a lot of ways, the way that you approach going back to the DNA of the culture of the company and how it was founded, it's like the way you approach dating, being open and honest and understanding, and also the way you were treated when you presented that option to your partner, that has, you know, kind of passed down to, you know, the way your employees operate and how you manage them. So that's really, really interesting. And you said post-breakup policy. I like that. That's clever. But I would say, yeah, you're a very forward company. Like, it's like interesting to see. I think that's amazing. And is there anything that you want to share that would surprise people about either how people use the app, some data points, or even just what you've learned along the way with Field?
Maybe I can share what I've learned. I know I say this word so many times, but I really think that approaching people and life and situations in life with curiosity is what can make everything feel so much more colorful and interesting and full and joyful. This is the experience that every user on Field talks to. So every person who's really experienced Field fully talks about seeing how their life turns from almost from black and white to color, because they've opened up and they've approached things with curiosity, and they experience the joy of that, like that freedom of not having to always try to fit things into a box. So just being curious, just asking yourself questions along the way, how you feel, why you feel that. It sounds very generic, but it's honestly taken us so far. This is our operating philosophy, and I believe this is the future.
Wow. Thank you so much, Anna. The next question I'm going to ask is, behind the scenes, and it's going to be where you got those boots. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Web Summit.